Nonetheless, these cities were impressive. And by 2300 BC, they were impressive enough to attract the attention of the first emperors of Mesopotamia. These are the Akkadian emperors, Sargon, and his grandson, Naram-Sin, who campaigned in, it seems, southeastern Asia Minor, attempting to impose their control over the areas that provided the raw materials that fueled the urban life of Sumer and Akkad. Akkad is just to the north of Sumer in Mesopotamia. This is our first historical glimpse into Asia Minor, and already, according to the cuneiform text, there are organized cities, there are kings, and a number of names are cited that indicate that perhaps already a people known to us as the Hittites were present in the peninsula. These first cities, so important for the development of Asia Minor, apparently came to an abrupt end. There is archaeological evidence of burning, dated approximately from 2300 BC. Now, probably conditions change from city to city, but the record seems clear. Between 2300 and 2100 BC, there's a break in the material culture, and it's always very dangerous to try to make assumptions without writing, but it does seem to appear that there were migrations, that a new people had entered. There's changes in pottery style. Those rich tombs at Elijah-Huyuk, for instance, the 11 tombs that have been excavated that produced all the goods, they're just below the burning level. So it seems as if the cities, the earliest cities of Asia Minor, were sacked. And when the light of historical records appears, around really significant records from about 1600 BC on, we find that there's a new people resident in the peninsula, a people who speak an Indo-European language. That is a language that is related to the great language family that stretches across Europe to India. And furthermore, this language, which we call Hittite, is particularly related to that western branch, the Kentum branch, not to the Satem or the eastern branch, which is represented today by the Slavic and Iranian and Indian languages, but rather to the language group that is represented by Greek, by the Romance languages, by the Germanic and Celtic languages, as far as the philologists can tell. And what seems to happen is a people had moved out of the Balkans and into the peninsula, and over the course of the next several centuries had fanned out and subjugated the various pre-existing inhabitants, which the Hittite text later called the people of Hatti. So sometimes we call these earlier peoples who are unknown to us, they haven't left any writing, as Hattians. That's just a convention. The Hittites themselves settled in the eastern part of the Great Plateau, in what later became historic Cappadocia. And by 1900 BC, there were some 12 cities in that region, which the Hittites called Hatti, the land of Hatti, that had emerged. To their west and to their south were a group of related people known as Luvian speakers. These are people who spoke a language closely related to Hittite. And to their north, there's another language that has been uncovered in the text, known as the Palite language, again, another related language. And these three languages, these Hittite languages, seem to have evolved for centuries on the peninsula of Asia Minor in the various distinct regions where the newcomers had settled. Furthermore, they had intermingled with many of the previous inhabitants, and you shouldn't think of this invasion as anything like an extermination. It was a migration, there were settlements, it was a gradual infiltration and settlement by various Indo-European speakers. What is important is the linguistic map of the peninsula was changed. Henceforth, Hittite, or as the Hittites themselves called it, Neshite, became the dominant political language of the peninsula and would be the first historic language we know of in written text. Luvian and Palite likewise played that role in their regions. Now, the emergence of these Hittite cities by 1900 BC once again attracted the people of Mesopotamia. Once the political confusion was over, once kingdoms had reemerged, the trade connections were reestablished, and as I mentioned earlier, those ancient trade connections drew the core of the peninsula into the Near East. This time, the Mesopotamians who arrived were people from Assyria, northern Iraq, Semitic people, or at least Semitic-speaking people, people speaking a language related to modern Hebrew and Arabic, And the Assyrians were heirs to the urban civilization of Sumer. They were settled farther north in Mesopotamia, but had many of the same institutions that we saw in urban-based Sumer and Akkad.